Lord, as we come now to your word, we need you, God. We're here and we need you. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to see a show. We're here to hear from you because we need you, God. We are sinners and we need a Savior. Our bodies are failing and we look forward to one day having a new body. And we're excited about our future. But Lord, we do get discouraged when we look at just humanly, when we see what's going on. And we do want to pray for our country and our leaders and those that are in charge of our land and our world. And Lord, we know it's all going down to a one world government. We know that. We don't know when that'll happen, Lord. And in the meantime, from a human perspective, we ask for peace. Not only for Jerusalem, but for America, while we watch your will be done. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the right attitude through all of this. Lord, it's very easy to let our flesh take over when we see things happening that are wrong and sinful. And Lord, help us to be Christ-like in our attitude. May we be a witness, a light in this world. May we be different. And may that difference be you. Lord, speak to our unsaved friends. Lord, they're on their way to hell. They'll never see heaven, experience it. And so we will long for them to be with us, to get off the broad road and to get on the narrow road that leads to life. And so we pray for them, Lord. We pray for their salvation. God, give us help now as we open up your word. May we be encouraged. May it motivate us to live a life that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of First. Give me a get my bearings together here. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thinking about our bodies today, we want to see what the Bible says about our future. And again, I keep saying our future. And again, I'm referencing people who have asked Jesus to be their Savior. And I hope that you can say today, without any doubts or I hope so's, that you'll say, I know so, because of what Jesus has done for me. And so let's pick up in our reading, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pick up with verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These bodies that we have now. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, let me tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Let that sink in. We're not all going to die. Maybe us, right? If the Lord comes today, we'll be raptured. But we will not all sleep, but we will. Our bodies will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Those bodies that we have now are perishable. But we're going to have a new body that will be imperishable, and we will be changed. For this body that we have now, this perishable, must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body that we have must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians tells us that, as well as we just read here in 1 Corinthians 15, Philippians tells us that our bodies will be changed. Jesus is going to transform our bodies to be like His. Our aches and pains that we have now, we're never going to experience them anymore. The transplants and the surgeries that we have to get a new this or new that, don't have to worry about that anymore. So, this corruptible, this perishable, this mortal body that we have will be like our Lord's body. And this whole study that we're going through is focusing on what is yet to come. And I want you today to be encouraged. And let's think about four things about our body that will be changed as we think about our future. And those four things, we want to especially focus on our physical, the actual skin and bones and the organs in our body and the physical part. We definitely want to look at that. That'll be the gist of what we'll focus on today. But we also want to focus on emotions, right? That's all part of being human. Our mental state of things, what will that be like? And of course, our spiritual selves as well. So let's start with the physical and kind of go through these things as we think about our future. The first thing that we want to understand, of course, is that we'll have new bodies. Right now, maybe you can think of a loved one that is not with us anymore. Again, when I give this whole series of messages for me came about because of, well, my dad, and I know it sounds funny, but my dog. And I've already told you this, but when I lost those two, I really started thinking hard. And this all happened last year for me. And so my dad right now is in heaven, because he asked Jesus to be his Savior. And we've looked at this already. I don't know if they have it's a possibility that they have a temporary body. We've already been through this, right, in our study so far. But one day, my dad, who is buried, his bones are down near Myrtle Beach right now in a little place called Conway. A lot of people travel through. That's where my dad is buried. And so my dad, one day, his body is going to shoot out of that grave. I mean, box they got him in, and 6 feet of dirt. That ain't gonna stop him. And kaboom, yow, that body is gonna raise out, and he's gonna have a brand new body. And we're gonna look at this. I think my dad will look like my dad. I'll recognize him. But his body's gonna be perfect. My dad won't have that cancer running through his bones, his body, his bloodstream, which is what it got him. My dad's not going to have that cancer anymore. He's not going to have that gray hair. He's not going to be hunched over like he was there at the end. Not going to have that. It's going to be my youthful dad. We'll have a brand new body. We're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to have a body like our Lord's. That's the first thing to think about. When you get discouraged, and I know I make a joke about this, but I got to keep this right here. Guys, this is temporary. Our bodies that we're struggling with right now, it's just temporary. And we're going to have a new body. A second thing, I just want to run through these kind of quick. The second thing that we want to think about is we're not going to be angels. Some people may have this idea that we become angels. We don't become angels. We keep our identity. In fact, the Bible says that we will, as you look at the bottom part of this verse, we will judge angels. Now, this will be some great conversations. Some people have thought about this, and I agree with them. Would it be great one day to sit down with the angels who have guarded us in this lifetime and to hear their stories? And they long to learn from us. But it'll be great to sit down with them, and we'll have eternity to hear their stories. But no, we're not going to be angels. We're gonna keep our own body. We'll have our own resurrected body. So just want to make that kind of clear. You're going to still be you. My dad is still Dave Rickard. Welcome Detweiler is still Welcome Detweiler. Renee Schick is still Renee Schick. And one day there'll be these grand reunions. You're going to be the same people. We're going to be the same people. When Jesus came back from his resurrection, he said, here are my hands. Look, it's me, myself. This is me. And we're going to be just like him. We're going to have our own identity that we have here on earth. There's this continuity. Look at what Matthew says here. Records Jesus saying, Jesus says, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until I drink it anew with you. In other words, we're going to be us. And Jesus says, I'm going to one day eat in heaven with you. It's also going to be us because we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of how we've lived our life here on earth. Again, just to say this doesn't determine whether we go to heaven or not. We're already there. We're in heaven because of God's grace, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we've accepted that through faith. But we have to give an account for what we have done on this earth for Jesus. And so it's still going to be us. We're not going to be this, you know, everybody's kind of morphed into this one person. No. We're all individuals. You're still going to be you. When you see me in heaven, you'll say, that's Jeff Rickard right there. That's that guy. Right? And I'll say that for you. We're going to have the same names in heaven. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, right, you're on your way to hell. And so we will have our names. We'll be called by our names. In fact, when let's see if that's my next point. Yeah, Abraham is still called Abraham. Isaac and Jacob. In fact, you know, the scriptures tell us that we'll eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are people's names that were given by their mom and dad on earth, right? And they keep their names. The names of the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel, right? These names will still carry on. And again, there's this continuity. The thing that you've got to understand, we've talked about this earth. God's not going to start over with a brand new earth. It's this earth that's going to be cleansed of all its junk, and it'll be brand new in that sense. It's not a brand new, starting from scratch. God takes this earth and makes it new again. The same way with us. It's still the same body. My dad's body is going to shoot out of that ground. During the rapture, this body, if Jesus comes today, this body that I have is shooting up on out of here. Of course, it'll be changed into perfection, but it'll still be me. It'll still be you. This is kind of an aside, okay, just to show how individual we are, right? We're not just this glob of people up there. We're all individuals. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are going to get a new name. We'll keep our old ones, and we'll get a new one. Look at this verse. This is Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some, the hidden manna, to eat. I will give him a white stone. Watch this. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except he who receives it. And so the way this verse is being interpreted is you're going to get a new name that Jesus is going to give you. God will give you. You'll keep your old one and you get a new. I don't understand what that verse really implies. I just know there's a new name written on it, and we're going to get it. You're going to get a stone, I'm going to get a stone, and there's a new name on there. Our bodies will be perfectly healthy. Now, again, there's this continuity from this life to the next life. For instance, the Bible tells us in Revelation that there's going to be people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And so, for instance, just to show individuality that'll be in heaven, for instance, we may have the same skin tones because we come from different parts of the world. We're all one flesh. We all are one blood, of course. We're all related. You start going backwards in time, every single person on this earth is related. We're all related physically. I mean, you might not be in my family tree that I can go back to on Ancestry.com, but you keep going back and we're all related because we all come back from Adam and Eve, regardless of any kinds of differences whatsoever. But to show individualities, right? We will have individualities. In other words, some may be fatter. You know, God made fat. You know, our body needs fat. That's where we store energy, right? Now, some cultures love plumper people. You know what I'm saying? Some people like skinny. In some cultures, they prefer skinnier people. You know, in heaven, I don't know what our bodies exactly the size will be, but if there's continuity, which there is, then we should probably think that skinny people will still kind of be on the thinner side and maybe a little, shall we call them healthier people, on the healthier side. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You're going to be happy with the way you look. There's not going to be any shame. There's not going to be any insecurities. There's not going to be any pride. We're going to love the way we look and feel because it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. And that's the most important thing. A perfect body. Now again, we think we have in our culture the way a perfect person should look, and in other cultures they look at us and say, what's wrong with them? It's going to be just right. It's going to be just right when we get there. Point here is we'll be healthy and there will be continuity, and the way you look now would, I don't know about eye color, maybe that too. I have no idea. But there'll be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Some people have wondered about age. Now, you got to remember, before the flood, people lived a long time. Methuselah was 969. Adam, I think, 950. You remember. That was before the flood. But what, of course, today we're after the flood, and if we live to be 100, you know, you're really old. Some have suggested that maybe our age in heaven will be in the early 30s, because that's kind of when our body has kind of peaked. You know, physically, I think of basketball players. I enjoy sports. Once you get about 33, I'm speaking in general. You've kind of hit a plateau. You ain't getting any better. You might plateau, but you're going to go down. I mean, that's I'm sorry. Father, as they say, age is going to win every time. I mean, you can't beat it. You're going to get in trouble. So some have thought that maybe at that peak, that'll be our age. I don't want to be dogmatic. That's why I got the word maybe up there. All I know is our body will be perfect. And they think at that age, right, you're physically, you're at a great spot. Mentally, you're at a great spot. You're just it's just a good age. Whatever it is, it's going to be perfect. Think about it. When I see my dad, if my dad is 30, see, I was trying to get my age, 42 plus 30, my dad's 72. So, yep, if I was 3 years old, I do remember my dad when he was 30. I don't remember that, but I was 3 years old. But maybe I'll remember my dad when he was 50. Again, we're just speculating. So I don't know what my mom and dad really, except for pictures. What were my great-great-great-grandparents, what did they look like if they were believers? I don't know. I've never seen them. So maybe they'll be 30, but some people have speculated that we'll remember people the way we've seen them. Again, we're just speculating. What about little kids who die, who are aborted? And go to heaven. What will they look like? Some have suggested, Randy Alcorn in his book suggests, that maybe in heaven, Christian parents will watch their little kid grow up literally before their eyes in heaven to where they max out at age 30 or 30. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe they'll actually have that opportunity to watch their kids actually grow up in a perfect world. Maybe these kids who die at age 5 or whatever, maybe they got saved and died at age 10 from a disease or whatever and never had a chance to grow up. Maybe they'll have that chance in heaven. Imagining things. We don't know for sure. Got to keep the word maybe there, right? Will we still be male and female? You know, we live in a world today, the answer is yes. Jesus, the verses here, when he rose, he saw Mary in the tomb, in the garden there, where the tomb was, and she said, "Sir, Mister," right? Jesus was a man. She didn't call him, "Excuse me, ma'am. You'll keep your same sex. We're not going to be unisex." You know, when you start thinking about our culture today, it's another cause for concern as we think about this whole transgender, you know, these issues that are just so sad to watch. In heaven, you will keep your same sex. Again, continuity from this life to the one to come. Your five senses down at the bottom. Probably we'll have our five senses. I don't know why we wouldn't. And they, boy, oh boy. I don't know if I'll have a nose like my dog, Bailey. You know what I mean? But we'll have a perfect nose. Our eyesight. Boy. You know, not only no more glasses and contacts, but will our eyes be like telescopes? Will we be able to see galaxies and worship God with our eyes? The heavens declare the glory of God. And will we be able to travel? That's a whole nother conversation. Will we be able to, just like that, say, "Hey, I'm going to take a trip. Anybody want to take a trip? I'm going over to see the Milky Way. Anybody going? Anybody? Hey, let's go." It might happen. Maybe the Lord will provide transportation for us like that. But maybe our eyes will be just, I know they're going to be better. Our taste buds, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be amazing. You know, COVID, they took away some people's taste. You ain't got to worry about that no more. What about people who are physically handicapped, mentally handicapped? What does the Bible say? They're going to have perfect bodies. God is going to transform our lowly bodies. That's going to be conformed to His glorious body. What about eating and drinking? Well, there's going to be a supper when we get married to Jesus, the church marries our Savior. There's going to be a wedding supper, right? Well, what do you do at suppers? Right? You eat. We know that Jesus ate after the resurrection. Our bodies are going to be like His. If Jesus ate, our bodies are going to be like His. We got a wedding supper at least to go to. I think we're going to be eating. Look at Matthew says, Jesus says in Matthew, I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what are we doing when we sit down? We'll sit down to eat. Right? Now, we know that the millennium, where Jesus will reign on this earth for 1,000 years, is part of His kingdom, right? But the ultimate kingdom, that God's kingdom will never end, is throughout eternity. And so, yes, we will definitely eat with the Lord in the millennium. And so, presumably, more than likely, probably, we're going to be eating all throughout eternity. Maybe we'll be vegetarians, because if you remember, I'm not sure if this is on here or not, because if you remember, why does death exist? Death exists because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And when Adam and Eve were in the garden, right, there was no sin. So there was no animals that had to die. Now, God killed an animal to provide clothing, but that was, again, after the sin. And so if there's no death in heaven, and there's not, and death is caused by sin, and therefore there's no sin, I don't think we have to think too hard and to think about meat. It comes from animals, dead animals. So maybe God will make a substitute kind of meat. I don't want to go there, but you know, whatever it is, it'll be just perfect. Physically, what will we do in heaven with our bodies? Well, we're going to work. If you remember, before the fall, God told Adam and Eve to work, right? Then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it, right? You know, Dick Vitale is a basketball commentator who's got cancer, by the way, and his body is wearing down as well, in other words. But he made these comments. He's very enthusiastic, if you know who Dick Vitale is. And he'd look at his partner and say, I can't believe they pay me to do this, baby. This is unbelievable, baby. They pay me to do this. In other words, he gets to watch basketball games at Cameron Indoor Stadium and the Dean Dome, and they pay him money. And that's his work. He says, I can't believe this. I'm getting paid to do what I love. That's what heaven's going to be. You're not going to say, man, I'm retiring tomorrow. Man, I hate this job. I'm quitting. I'm out of here. It ain't going to be that. I can't believe they pay me to do this in heaven. We're all going to be serving the Lord one day. And you'll love it. You'll be fulfilled. You're not going to be able to wait to get up in the morning. You're going to be so excited. You know, there's nothing wrong with work. Of course, when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin made work hard, didn't it? By the sweat of our brows and thorns and thistles. And, you know, work became really, you know, work. But in heaven, work is going to be fun. Here's the verse, Revelation 22:3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, that's us, shall serve him. We're all going to have jobs. And part of it is based off of how we live today. This is almost like training ground for our future. And what we do now is going to determine how we serve later. We're going to be rewarded for and given more responsibilities based on how we serve now. But we'll enjoy it. I got to keep going. Okay, so that's the physical. That's the main part. And I'm looking at this. I got to just turn this over. I hope y'all are okay. Let's finish. Emotions. You know, God has emotions. Compassion, sorrow, love, joy, grief, anger, etc., etc. When you look at those last two, you say, whoa, 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 whoa. But I got to remember, in God's experience, he's perfect. God is perfect. God never sins. And so when he experiences emotion, or expresses, I guess is the word, grief and anger, it's always perfect. We, on the other hand, because we are created in God's image, we also have emotions. That's where we get them from, right? The Creator, we are created in his image. So if God expresses emotions, we express emotions, right? And so because we're sinners, though, we don't express them correctly. But one day, we will. How about this for emotions? This is in the present. This will be in the intermediate. Sorry. This will be in the intermediate heaven. This is in Revelation 6. And the martyrs, they cry out with a loud voice. Emotions. A loud voice. Say, God, how long, oh Lord, until you judge and avenge our blood. Right? Emotions. We'll have emotions in heaven. We'll experience things. We know we'll have emotions because the Bible says we'll have tears that God will wipe away. Now, this is in Revelation 21, so this is after the new earth is created. So right now, you know, we may cry when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and we say, dog, I didn't live for the Lord like I should have. My motivation for service was not good. And we'll experience maybe some shame, some embarrassment. But when that new heaven and the new earth, no, that's gone. God's going to wipe away tears from our eyes. There'll be laughter in heaven. This is an interesting verse. I'll just read it real fast. Luke chapter 6, verse 21. This is Jesus talking. 6:21. This is during the Mount of Olives. Oh, sorry. The Beatitudes sermon that he gives this, and he says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied then. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. You know, when we get to heaven, when I see Jesus, I was just talking with Brother Gilbert here just a little bit ago, and we're talking about our bodies wearing down, and he mentioned seeing Jesus. When you see Jesus, you know, just when we were singing that song, did tears come to your eyes? Tears came to my eyes. We sing that last song. Worthy is the Lamb. You get emotional, right? When we see Jesus, you don't think you're going to be crying. Dude, I'm going to be so happy. We're going to be bawling. When I see my dad and maybe see my dog, I think we went over that as well. Put maybe in big parentheses there. But when I see my dad for sure, you don't think there's going to be some emotions? There's going to be some emotions. And there's going to be some laughter. We're going to be looking at each other, high-fiving, praising God, and laughing for joy. For joy. You know, we're not going to have any desires to sin anymore. None. The old sin nature, the flesh, is gone. Perfect. Our relationships with each other, we won't be looking at us and say, man, you got some high waters. You need to tell Jesus to get you a new robe, man. Hey, look at you, man. You've been to the buffet table. You've been eating a little bit too much. Hey, look at you. We ain't going to be doing that. We're going to be high-fiving each other. No sin, no pride, no, what's wrong with me? None of that. It's going to be wonderful to have no sin nature that desires to be sinful. Mentally. Some people wonder if we'll be perfect, and we'll, in the fact, we are perfect, but they wonder if that means we'll know every single thing about everything. Well, that would make us omniscient. And there's only one person who's omniscient, and that's God. We are finite beings that'll be perfect, but we'll be continually learning. And throughout eternity, we're going to be learning more. And it's going to say, wow, wow, I never knew that. And it's going to cause us to worship God. Do you see that? All of eternity is about worshiping God. And the more we learn, maybe with our telescopic eyes, when we get into this automobile that's going to travel into space, when we come back, we're going to say, wow, I learned blah, 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 blah. And it's going to cause us to worship God. Do you see that? It's all about worshiping God. It says here, for now I know in part, but then I'm going to know just as I am known. Well, in the Greek, these words right there at the end where it says, I shall know just as I am known, it means to come to know. In other words, you're always learning more. Throughout eternity, y'all, we're going to be sitting down with each other. And here, let me tell your story. Hey, Daniel, come here. Joseph, in our Bible study today, we're going to sit with Joseph and say, hey, man, tell me your story. Wow, really? Oh, boy, the Lord was with you the whole time, wasn't he? Dog, man, that was amazing. Hey, and we're going to worship God. We're going to sit down with martyrs, Jim Elliot, and we're going to learn what it was like that beach as they were martyred for the Lord. What was it like, to witness to the Alcas and people's stories, and we're going to be learning about God. It's going to cause us to praise. We're going to sit down with the angels. We're going to talk with our guardian angels, and every bit of it's going to point at praise to God. Every bit of it. As we constantly learn throughout eternity. We will know accurately, but probably never exhaustively, because that makes us God then, and we're not God. God is omniscient. We are not omniscient. Think about angels. Angels don't know everything. Of course, they're not God. Don't want to make that claim at all, but angels are constantly wishing to learn more. Look at the last part of that verse, right? Angels are constantly trying to learn more. That's the way we're going to be, constantly learning. All right, quickly. There's no sin in heaven. You already know that, but here's a question that some people have. Well, wait a minute now. Adam and Eve were perfect, right? Yes. And they lived in a perfect environment. Yes. They sinned. Yes. So then, won't we be able to sin as well? The answer is no. Not a chance. Ain't gonna happen. Well, why? Well, first off, there's no sin nature. right? We already went through this. Death is caused by sin. And because we know there's no death in heaven, there is no sin. There's no sin. There's no sin nature. There's no desire for us to sin. We don't want to sin. We have no desire because we don't have that old sin nature in us anymore. It's gone. And then check out this one. We have the righteousness of Jesus. Adam and Eve did not. They were innocent. They were perfect. They were innocent, but they did not have the righteousness of Jesus. We have been raised, will be raised incorruptible, perfected for all time. There's no chance of us sinning. We'll have no desire. It's impossible for us to sin. Look at the end of this verse. We will be partakers of the divine nature. No sin in heaven. I got to get through this. Let's conclude. Give you two things as we conclude. You know, we're going to have a new body, brand new body. But what should we be doing with our bodies now? Now, again, we all are given a limited number of minutes and time on this earth. What should we be doing with our time? Look at what it says. If you know Jesus as your Savior, look at the verse. If you address as Father, you know, if God is your Father, the one who impartially will judge us one day. If you know that God's going to judge us one day, according to our work, we need to conduct ourselves in this body in fear during the time of our stay on earth. If Jesus is your Savior, if God is your Father, while we live in this body of sin that's falling apart, it's wasting away, one day we're going to give an account of how we acted in this body. And lastly, keep ourselves pure. Everyone who has this hope that one day we'll be with Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on Him and let's purify these bodies just as He is pure. Run from sin. Don't give sin a foothold. Don't make exceptions. Let's be a bride that's waiting for her groom in purity. Let's pray. Lord, we've got a great future. We have got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful future. And we look forward to a brand new earth. We look forward to a brand new body, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. God, I pray if there's anyone here that's not sure whether they're on their way to heaven, they're not sure if they're going to be there, that, Lord, they would look to You, Lord Jesus. They'd look to the Savior. Oh, God, help us to live for You. Keep us pure, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.